right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we had been planning on having a nice leisurely talk tonight on a Wednesday night in the middle of May, recapping the Players' Championship and looking forward to the U.S. Open coming up in the near future here in golf. Looking at the NBA playoffs, down to the final eight, with the 1, 2, 3, and 5 seeds fighting it out in 4 good battles in both sets of conference playoffs at this point in time. Hoping that we'd have a nice leisurely conversation about Tom Brady and the New England Patriots and all the nefarious stuff they're trying to do. And turns out that we couldn't actually stick with just that, because who manages to make news here in Bloomington every once in a while, just completely out of the blue and hopefully for good reasons, but not in this particular case. It's IU basketball.
Oh, we're not managed about the Big Ten ACC Challenge that was announced.
Well,
today?
We can talk about that, right, but we'll I think we'll talk about something else first, as they've managed to make some bad news on the 13th of May, as just 2 nights ago, the IU Police Department got a call at Hickory Hall, which is apparently one of these new places over on Union Street and 3rd Street. I don't know all these new buildings are building up over there, but they're finding money to do it. About 8 o'clock in the evening on a Monday night, it turns out they're showing up, I believe, to Devin Davis's dorm room. And they're doing so because they smelled the smell of marijuana and called the cops on him. They find Devin Davis with a bag of marijuana in his backpack. And they also find Hunter Mascara Perea in the room. He has not been charged, but Devin Davis has been charged and technically arrested, although I don't think he was trotted downtown.
Cited.
But yet another incident off the field with IU basketball. Look, we can talk about the severity of having a small bag of pot in your bag later, because really, to me, and I don't know about you, Glass, but you might be the same, that particular offense just doesn't rub me the wrong way. The problem is, here you've got two kids who have already been in trouble, not just legal trouble, but potentially loss of life trouble in both cases. Let's remember Hunter Mascara Perea, DUI, extraordinarily drunk at over 0.2, not 0.02, 0.2, when he was caught driving a car around town in the middle of the night. Devin Davis, we know, bounced off the front of a car and his head off the ground and was in the hospital and rehabilitation for a brain injury for a long time, and yet, despite these situations and everything else that's gone on in the program, these two guys in particular, anybody could be blamed for it, but these two guys in particular are implicated in this situation. I realize Hunter is not charged at this point, but he's in the room.
He's being charged with poor judgment.
Yeah,
again.
Both of them is poor judgment. It's poor decision-making, and if you give guys second chances, I have no problem with that. They got to show that they're going to learn from their first chances and overcome that, and this is pretty much the exact opposite of learning from the chances you got the first time.
Well, don't forget, two of their teammates also got suspended last year on November 3rd for failing drugs test. And what happens is you don't get suspended until you fail the third one. So remember, Stan was caught three times. Troy was caught three times. That's happened. Drug testing, for those of you who think, well, they're out of season, what's the big deal? According to my sources, drug testing goes on year-round. There is no off-season for that. So obviously the penalty of seeing their two teammates get suspended for that didn't resonate. The penalty of the other incidents that have gone on, because both players have been there throughout all of these incidents dating back to Perea's disregard for the law on Valentine's Day, I believe that was, in 20 whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they just are new to this and it's new guys that are just arriving here and are just having some old college fun. The problem is, nothing is getting through to a certain faction of this team, whether it was the quote-unquote leader in Yogi Ferrell last year at Little 500, whether it's a senior-to-be this year in Hunter Perea, whether it's a young guy, Emmett Holt, who was here in August and on Halloween night was involved in that accident. Mm-hmm. It seems that nothing is a big deal. And we can go back to November 3rd last year, 2 days after the Emmett Holt, Devin Davis incident, when the drug test from Stan Robinson and Troy Williams came back. So in a period of 3 days, you had four players in some severe incidents going on. And since then, you've had some suspensions. And here we are, barely, what, not even 7 months later, and people are still making bad decisions. So two things I get out of this. Nobody cares, number one, because you didn't make it a year. And I don't know if a year is a fair assessment. You made it through the season. Congratulations. You want a pat on the back for saying you had no problems during the season? Yeah. Okay. Pat, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt your arm patting yourself on the back for that one, because you did. And here you are 6.5 months later, and you've got another bad decision. And it doesn't matter which kid it is, in my opinion, because the sum of the parts, there's been multiple people involved with this. It hasn't been one bad apple. And a lot of people thought maybe that bad apple's gone.
That's fair.
Well, that's wrong.
I smacked my forehead when I heard it. I smacked it harder when I heard who was in the room because of what has gone on with the two of them.
So there is either a mindset. I smacked my head. There's a mindset in that locker room that they are above the law and they don't have any respect or conscience about their decisions because they're not acting very smartly. Because as we know, Monroe County is a lovely part of America. There are over how many state forests are around here? How many parks? How many outdoor areas? If you need to get high bad enough, you can disappear pretty easy.
You don't need to do it at a dorm.
No, you don't.
Although I suppose we should.
So I'm not going to.
We should thank you for not driving while doing it.
Well, whatever it is. But the point is, the stupidity level is the part that gets you.
Yes.
It's not the crime per se, and it is illegal to smoke pot. I know half the people in this town are like, "What are you talking about?" Well, it is. It's on the books. Can't do it. So if you choose to do it on university property and someone calls you on that, great. It's still illegal, whether you like it or not. It's illegal to drink when you're under 21 years of age, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But the point is, all the things they've been through, we want kids to learn from those mistakes and get better and do better. The night of the first problem was the night, and no one wants to talk about this, but I will. No one brings this up. The next morning, they were greeting 10,000 of their fans face-to-face, handing out candy, and they're all out.
That's right.
That happened. Okay? That tells you what kind of, quote-unquote, respect or love they have for it.
Oh, yeah, and it keeps going,
whatever
obviously.
It is. And then they have another problem. And you know what? I'm not going to knock the kid for making a bad decision, because all college kids make bad decisions. It's the nth decision that's the bad decision. It is, there's nothing in that locker room that has put any fear into those players because they think this is a good idea. And a guy who has been there through a 9-game suspension his freshman year, through an OWI his sophomore year, and now you throw that in there. Some people get it and some people don't. So everybody thought the problem children are gone or not here. Well, we're going to clean house and get rid of them. Well, you did that when you arrived on campus because you thought you had some bad players. And now you got 6 incidents in 15 months.
Yeah. And apparently you still got some of those guys still here. Got to take a quick break.
333-2665
is the phone number. We'll talk about punishment at this point in time. We do have an arrest in this case. We don't know about the other situation. I'm not sure we need an arrest in either situation, but we'll talk about that in just a couple minutes. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Quick programming note, we got Reds baseball the rest of the week. Atlanta is in town tonight, 7 o'clock. Should say we have them on the air at 7 o'clock all the rest of the week also. San Francisco's in town Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Again, all of those, 7 o'clock. So right after the show, don't go anywhere as the Reds on the air against Atlanta. 333-2665 is the phone number. Reacting to the news that Devin Davis was arrested in a dorm room the other evening for possessing marijuana. Hunter Mascara Perea in the room with him, not cited. I think IU fans know the incidents that have occurred. Devin Davis was not cited in the accident, from my understanding, that occurred on Halloween night when Emmett Holt was driving a car. He was cited for underage consumption at, what about, 0.025? Next to no alcohol, but still alcohol, and that's the point when you're 18. But this incident, what do you do about this incident? Look, kids in college have... they make mistakes. They make dumb decisions. They do dumb things. But when you continue to have them as part of a program that you are running, you eventually have to gain control of the attitudes of the kids in the program. And that may or may not be unfortunate at this stage for Devin Davis and Hanna Mascara-Perea. But I think the decisions are really pretty easy at this point. And I don't go medieval very often. But to me, I don't see how you take guys that continue to make bad decisions and let them continue to make bad decisions.
Well, if this was
you know, one guy who had never done anything yet, if this was Robert Johnson, you'd smack your head. You'd go, what in the living hell? And you'd do something, but you wouldn't kick him off the team.
Yeah, but
these are two guys that have made dumb decisions.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Life-threatening decisions.
Go back to that November 3rd when the guys were suspended for failing a drugs test, mandatory suspension. Mm-hmm. That's their third one they've known to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You can argue Devin Davis has only been in trouble twice.
I agree.
Those guys got caught three times doing it, and they didn't get the message after the first one or the first two. And one of them's supposed to be maybe an NBA first-round draft pick.
They have a protocol for that, and that was the protocol.
They're exactly right. So again, you can play devil's advocate and say, well, those guys were technically caught three times doing it. The third time is the time that sprung all the penalties.
Look, and you.
So that's the point. Don't get caught.
You and I have talked about this.
There are consequences.
This is me personally. I'm not going to speak for everybody. I personally don't care a hell of a lot about a underage kid having a couple beers and partying in college. I don't care about an underage kid or any age kid having a couple puffs here and there. That in and of itself does not bother me. A basketball player doing it does not bother me all that much. A basketball player whose life was threatened and had to go through brain rehabilitation for doing something dumb to begin with, and then is doing it, and in his room is a guy who's already been in trouble a couple different times in a couple different ways, including driving around drunk because he didn't understand that, apparently. These are really, really dumb decisions at this point in time.
Well, the reason I have a problem with it is because...
it's just bad. It's dumb.
The reason that there should be... you should have a problem with it is because they aren't treated like other students. They have...
Oh, no, I understand why they're not.
They have scholarships to hold up to. They are under a different spotlight.
I get it.
They have responsibilities that a casual student doesn't. So,
yes. That's one of the reasons it's dumb. I didn't clarify what I meant there. You're correct.
College kids can do what they want as long as they're not held to a different standard.
I'm not sure they need to be, I think, is my point, but I don't need to get into that discussion today.
That's fine, but
it's
but
not
the
relevant,
problem but... is you have a different angle here. You're in the spotlight. You are a member of the university's most prominent nationwide team that is under a microscope, and nothing.
And you've already done really dumb things.
And nothing since the first time Perea was in trouble. There have been five other incidents in 15 months. Those are the facts.
Yeah.
What does it take to get it through? Is it just a bad group of kids? It just doesn't get it? Well, these kids are from Indiana. These kids are from other places. So if you want to blame the outsiders,
you can't do it.
What you can blame is the penalties that have been given out already have done nothing to deter the stupidity or the choices being made.
It keeps happening.
They keep making those choices. So either the penalties in this handbook, the penalties behind closed doors, the run until you puke, guess it doesn't bother some guys.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't hit home. It doesn't register them. The only way that anything is going to register moving forward is what? Well, it's quite simple. The next time Troy gets busted for smoking marijuana, what's step four?
Yeah, exactly.
What's step four in the NCAA protocol?
I don't know.
Well, there you go. So that's an issue, right? The next time anybody on this team gets in trouble, we had this same conversation on the second Monday in November. And here we are 6.5 months later having the same conversation. I'll give you fans credit. If this didn't bother you after those four people got in those events in Halloween night and November 3rd, you shouldn't be bothered by this at all. You should go back to sticking your head in the sand and saying, everything's great, we're preseason, whatever we are, we got Thomas Bryant here, we got nothing to worry about, because you did it the first time. You did it the first time. You did it last November, and if you want to do it again, I'll give you full marks for being consistent. But there are some people who don't like this going on with their program.
Of course, I understand. 333-2665 is a phone number. There are degrees of incidents. There are degrees of crimes. They exist in the legal system. The idea that someone, again, is in their dorm room smoking pot, to me, is a pretty minor degree. That's not the issue to me. I mean, it's part of the issue. But the issue is the stupidity of the decision-making behind being in that situation. And you mentioned part of it. Part of it is because of their stature here at Indiana and being
or
a basketball player.
Or their perceived stature. They don't think the law applies to them. That's fine.
Yeah,
then
they're going to get attention.
Then you're going to get attention for making decisions like this.
You mentioned it in the first segment. It is either they have absolutely no respect for the rules that are out there in front of them, or they are just really, really dumb in their decision making. It could be somewhere in between, but either one of them, it's not a flattering look in any way, shape, or form. The only way you get these attentions, and we talked about this completely unrelated with the Patriots on Monday, the only way you get anyone's attention in this case is you make it a serious consequence. And a serious consequence is not three games. It's not, especially when you've already got the dumb decisions behind the two guys who are implicated in this case. And again, just to be clear, Hauner was not cited in this case.
No, but it's
in the report.
It's
in somebody's report.
Again, and
it's bad decision.
And Indiana fans want to say, hey, he's a senior. He should know better. He doesn't. He showed you he doesn't.
No, exactly.
He sat there and said it's a good idea. Whether he was involved in it or not, I have no idea. But the point is,
he's naive, thinking it's over and he can ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. He won't get any trouble.
Naive doesn't count.
I agree.
And bad decisions are a product of three things, and I think this is it. Deterrence. What is a deterrence? It hasn't worked at all. Number two, the decision making in a legal sense. This isn't 5 minutes late for a meeting. You've been late to a meeting 5 minutes five times.
No.
This is things you can't do when you sign the paper to live in the dorms. You can't do this, and you know that. You know all that.
Look, again, there are varying levels of crime in the legal system, but getting arrested is still getting arrested.
And
that's
the biggest
worse than
crime
missing
a
meeting.
Is having to deal with this in the court of public opinion because it doesn't go away. You can say, hey, wasn't let off in handcuffs. Hey, what's the big deal? Everybody smokes pot. You can go through all that stuff. The problem is it's front page news. And people are talking about it. They're not talking about Thomas Bryan anymore. They're not talking about your preseason ranking anymore. They're not talking about James Blackman Jr., Yogi Ferrell, Troy Williams coming back. They're talking about what? What is going on in the basketball program? And the only way you fix this problem is simple. Just like the Tom Brady penalty where I suggested, the only way I know if it would work or not would be when people on the street that are casual at best fans go, whoa. That's a pretty stiff penalty.
Right.
You're in the same exact boat. Boy, isn't it funny how life mirrors reality sometimes.
Look.
The only way that this is going to quote-unquote clear itself up, because you had 6.5 months to drive this point home, and obviously it didn't get across.
Right.
So you have to do something to bring the public trust back of those who think this is not a big deal, because I know there's a handful of people out there who could care less.
Yes.
They could care less because you know what? They didn't care less. They could care less. They didn't care in November, and again, why would you care about this if you didn't care about those things that happened there? Or you say, you know what? We're going to help these kids, and we're going to do what's best for them. And if these problems continue, which, again, I've already heard if the problems continue. I heard about that all last November.
Right.
The problems are continuing, and here's the proof for that. So I'm at a loss there. But if your mission is to save, fine. I'm down with it. Do it, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and save the kids. I have no problem with that at all. But you better make sure you find a way to dress this up in some immaculate fashion where people aren't going, what the hell's going on over there?
Right.
How does that work? So if you want to turn this into a public service campaign and you want to say, hey,
medicinal marijuana allowed for brain injuries?
You're speaking at every junior high school, middle school, elementary school. You're going to do PSA commercials. You're going to do – we are going to tackle – substance abuse in our program. We are going to tackle alcohol use in our program and make this college a better place for it. If not, that's the thing. It falls on deaf ears.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do? Slap three more games on somebody?
No, exactly.
Here you go. It's you're going to miss Chicago Institute of Science. You're going to miss University of Southern Indiana Tech. And that's what they did last year. They suspended guys for preseason games on it. That was a joke. It was, guys. I know you don't like to hear it. Nobody cares about that. That didn't deter anybody from doing it again.
Or it lasted 6 months.
It lasted 6 months. Irrelevant. So I don't know. I can't figure it out. It's not my job to figure it out. I don't get paid the millions of dollars some people do, and I don't get paid the hundreds of thousand dollars that some other people do to figure it out. What do you want your program to look like? That's the question. And again, five incidents in 15 months, that's what the program looks like right now. Whether you like it or not, that's up to you to fix. And if you choose not to fix it and you just want to say, hey, we'll let the basketball take care of itself, I'm fine with that. Just come out and tell us. That's all I'm asking.
333-2665 is our phone number. Think about that for a few minutes, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. David Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. Again, quick programming note, we got Reds baseball the rest of the week, including tonight, 7 o'clock all week long, Atlanta in town tonight, and then the San Francisco Giants the rest of the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 333-2665 is our phone number. Unfortunately, we can't spend a lot of time tonight talking about IU being matched up with a trip to Cameron Indoor Stadium for the ACC Big Ten Challenge, which was announced today. I don't know if it gets you off the news cycle, but
really have to talk about it.
Exactly. It'll be a nice trip, and we'll talk about that later.
We just want to know who the roster will be. I think that's the only question going into that.
333-2665 is our phone number. Bring in John. How you doing, John?
Good, guys.
John, was the last time we played at Cameron in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, was that the infamous Steve Lavin pepper pot game on the Eric Shore?
Eric Shore game, I think it was. I don't know that. 06.
That was the one where Kelvin was in his first or second year here, and 54, the people were always, the fans were saying, hey, Kelvin Sampson called me, and that's like, I think it would have probably been 07.
Yeah, it was the 06.
06 was the date.
Well, it was the 06-07 season, 06, right?
Yes,
'cause 06, they played 07, us in the front part.
Yes, because the next pepper year pot. They played Georgia Tech here, and so yeah, he was only here for 2 years, but yeah. Yeah, so I think it was 06.
The pepper pot game with Steve Lavin.
Right, exactly.
The former coach of St. John's and UCLA. Yeah.
John, what do you do about this?
I don't know. These guys, like you said, you don't. This is not what I call it about, because I want to ask you guys a question about Deflategate in a little bit. But I don't think any of these guys have any idea how iconic their status is as an IU basketball player. To kids that they don't know and probably never will know their name and stuff like that. When I was in school over there, I had classes with Armando Betancourt, who was a soccer player.
Oh, yeah.
Player in the country. He won the Herman Trophy, which is comparable to the Heisman. He could walk down in the college mall, and no one would know who he was.
Right.
If Jim Thomas or Tony Brown or Chuck Franz or somebody who wasn't a starter did that, everybody knew who they were because they were IU basketball players.
Yep.
It's the most iconic sport you have, and you're held to a higher standard than anybody else. You know, and so when you do something, you know, bad, you know, I always go back to, I remember, you'll know this, Dave, when poor Nolan Harrison beat up that ATM machine.
Yeah.
He just did whatever all of us have wanted to do at one time. We're just not as big as he is.
And he was an unbelievable kid. My dad recruited him.
I met
unbelievable
him
kid.
Too.
But that was his second or third minor, really, incident. And
the ATM machine.
Had to go.
But he didn't pick on a human being. He picked on an inanimate object. That's the thing. The point about it was, and everybody said, I'd like to do that at some time. I'm just not 6'5", 270, or whatever he was.
The police showed up, and they had him on video doing it, I believe. So
That's a little different, but these guys keep doing the same thing over and over again, and I don't know how. I don't think obviously they can't get through to these guys, so I don't know what you do unless you're going to kick them off.
Here's what you do: you test Hunter Mascara-Perea yesterday for marijuana. If he pops, I don't see why not. If he pops, he's gone. Because then being in the room doesn't really, and saying you're not doing anything doesn't really matter.
Let me take it one step further. Why wouldn't you take the whole team and make him go?
Well, that's fine, too. I'm good with that. I mean, they do it anyways.
If you want to solve a problem,
they do it anyways.
Solve a problem.
Well, but you're talking about this incident in particular.
No.
With Devin Davis, I would like to have him kept around because of the situation he went through. But I think if you go through that situation, get the support that you get, and then make another dumb decision, really dumb decision, again, at some point in time, you run out of the ability to have second chances because you continue to make dumb decisions. Wasn't Sherron Wilkerson just recently, wasn't there an article written about how he's apologizing to Bob Knight still because he figured out all the stupid stuff he did? But the point was, at some point, he made enough dumb decisions he had to go.
Right.
That's the point. I mean, sometimes saving a kid involves getting rid of them because they continue to do stupid stuff to you.
Well, one of the things that bugs me the most, Devin Davis is responsible for his predicament.
Yes.
If he hadn't been drinking underage and he hadn't been drunk, he wouldn't have been out in front of that truck.
Yes.
It was never proved that he was drinking. Let's just get that out there. He was in a situation with a bunch of people who allegedly were.
And so he just jumped out in front of the truck.
The point is they're out after midnight and they need to be in an event the next morning in front of their fans.
Showing you as a fan what he thought of the program.
Right. They end up at the hospital because of it.
So I'm not going to cut him any slack for that because I think this is the second time he's done something really dumb in less than a year.
It's a second really dumb decision, and that's my point about it. The second decision is to me is less of a big deal than the first decision, just if you handle them separately. But the point is, they're two really dumb decisions, one right after the other, and the first one was the most potentially severe of the bunch. I mean, again, it almost cost him his life.
And if you're a parent of a prospect at IU's recruiting, do you want your kid coming here and dealing with this stuff? I wouldn't.
Right. I mean,
I wouldn't. I'm not one of those boys will be boys kind of stuff because I draw a line on that kind of stuff.
I agree with you, but I will tell you this: there are parents and there are players out there who would look on excessive punishment, if you will. All right, just bear with me a second. What looks like potentially excessive punishment for something "quote unquote" as small as smoking a joint. As overkill for if they want to go there and deal with that also. Now, I agree with you. I'm with you. I don't want my kid to have to go into a certain environment. But there would be some that would look at it the other direction. Again, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the two kids right now. They've done dumb stuff in the past. They apparently are continuing to do dumb stuff.
The NCAA does drug testing. I don't know what college you're going to go to where they let you get away with that stuff. So, again, it's part of the rules. And if you don't play by the rules, John, it's not hard to figure out why good things don't happen.
Well, these guys don't seem to be real deep thinkers when it comes to what's down the line for them in the future. No. I mean, it's just about them living
the best
credit
now. I can give them is that they're completely naive and oblivious to some of the stuff.
I agree.
That's not a whole lot of credit. John, you were talking about not following the rules.
Okay, here's a question that I was asked about Deflategate. If Tom Brady appeals this, which he probably will, who is a final arbiter on this? Is it Roger Goodell? Is it one person, two people, three people? And how long do they have before they have to come back with a decision?
Well, if it took them 4.5 months to put the investigation together, I think you've got an idea of how long that the appeals process could be. I had that somewhere. Let me find that at the break, and I will...
Who makes the decision on it?
It has to be if it's an arbiter, it has to be agreed on by the collective bargaining agreement between the owners and the Players Association. They just can't randomly bring somebody. There's got to be a list of players or a list of judges or attorneys or whatever it is to hear this. That should be set in the collective bargaining agreement, and that should be your answer. How long it will take, I don't know. I don't know what the is there a right to a fair and speedy trial and all of that? Probably not.
It's not a court of law. So
it is not a court of law because they could be able to subpoena all of Tom Brady's emails and text messages. So the last place Tom might want to go is there.
They have tended to not take a long time. Again, I don't have all the facts in front of me in this regards, but they have tended to not take a long time with the appeals process. Coming back with a second verdict. I mean, the bottom line there is, let's be fair. Do you really think he's going to serve 4 games of suspension after it's appealed?
I think you will.
I'm one of
the rare people that thinks that they want to. They have to be very serious with this because they can't be wink, wink, nod, nod. It's Bob Kraft, and we're going to let it go.
They shouldn't be, but they already did that with him and his organization and his coach.
Hey, Kraft hired the guy and get him fired too.
Yeah, they laid it all on the quarterback, which I'm all for. But to take it all away from the coach, again, Sean Payton's wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I'm one of the rare people that thinks it will be 4 games, but I could be wrong on that. I mean, it's going to be interesting if it gets. Some people say he's not going to serve a game, and I can't see that happening. I mean, did you
ask him if they're Patriot fans?
Yeah,
no,
I don't think they're
Patriots.
I don't think they can get rid of
him
completely.
They're just cynical. That's that way.
And you know what? There's a lot of reasons they should be. Remember the reason Sean Payton got in trouble. Do you remember why? And I forgot to mention this on Monday. Sean Payton went and lied to the commissioner's face in New York City. We forgot to talk about that. That's why he got a year. He said, no, it's not going on in my locker room. And they did an investigation and said, Sean, you lied to us. That's why you're getting a year. You didn't have a hand in putting it together. You didn't have a hand in passing it out. You didn't have a hand in celebrating it. You came to one NFL center, told Goodell to his face that that wasn't going on in your program. You lied.
And
Brady's done the same thing.
They cited Brady and the Patriots also not being forthcoming with all this also.
No,
again, I still don't see why Belichick and the Patriots don't get more than they did. You can argue the fine and the draft picks, but to me, there's got to be another suspension.
Well, as long as they didn't mention his name specifically and implicate it in some way, I think he was able to skirt because of that. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it's his culture and his locker room and stuff like that. But I think they wanted they were afraid it'd come down too hard. I think they think four games and draft picks and $1 million is enough.
It's completely fair for me to say on Monday that that Bill Belichick has the culture there, and even though he's not directly implicated in that situation, he needs to face some sort of suspension because it's a second list. And it's completely legitimate for IU fans to say Tom Crean's guys keep doing stupid stuff and Tom Crean should go because of it. I might not agree with either one of those, but it's the culture. I mean, it is. And
yep.
The coach does set the culture.
Exactly.
That's a fact.
Right.
You know, so at some point the coach has to deal with it in some manner.
Brady
or continue to try to get away with it.
Brady has 3 days to file his appeal.
Yeah, I believe he's filed it. I thought I heard he has filed it.
Yeah, he hired a lawyer for this. I know that, but I saw his mouthpiece on TV last night talking about how bad it was.
Darn ye, God.
But I was curious. Someone asked me, and I said, I don't know. I will find out. My sources have a show tonight, and I'll find out for them because they will know if anybody knows.
And unfortunately, we don't know off the top of our head, John, but we'll figure it out.
That has to be collectively bargained. That cannot that just can't be similar.
It's kind of like a jury nullification. They can, if one side doesn't or the other doesn't like it, this guy, they can X him out and get somebody that they think is actually.
Yeah, usually with something like that, what you have is you have some sort of
list.
Approved list of guys or people
that is negotiated
in the bargaining agreement that you can go to. I mean, there are groups of people, lawyers or that sort of thing, that are literally available for these sort of labor disputes.
So
under Article 46 of the 2011 collective bargaining agreement, Brady has 3 business days to officially file his appeal, and the appeal hearing is supposed to begin within 10 days of the league's receipt of his appeal. Brady's appeal will be heard by either Commissioner Roger Goodell or an officer of Goodell's choosing. Representatives of the NFL as well as the NFL Players Association have the right to attend all hearings, and Brady can also have his own personal counsel present. The appeal can take place at the NFL offices in New York City or via telephone or video conference. Once Goodell or his hand-picked officer decides on the appeal, the ruling is final. That's from the Boston Globe. That's shocking to me that I got that one wrong. I would have thought this had all to be in place and collectively bargained. It's not. So again, we've heard of
it's collectively bargained for that matter.
That to happen. Yeah. So the players agreed to that. The commissioner to be judge, jury, and executioner. That's what that problem was in the Saints thing. And here you go again. There's your answer, John.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks
I knew
for
you
your
come
patience.
Through.
Well, it's amazing what I wanted to go to the Boston sites because I figured they'd have it right.
They're kind of
on the ball for all of this.
They need
Ed, give
right
us
now.
A call back. I'm sorry we made you wait so long. John, good job as
John,
always.
Thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. 333-2665 is the phone number. Let's go ahead and take our last break. And Ed, again, if you can give us a call back, we'll get you back on the air here in just a few minutes. Plenty going on tonight. We'll wrap it all up when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, quick programming note, we got Reds baseball the rest of the week, 7 o'clock each night, including right after the show here. Atlanta in town tonight and the Giants, San Francisco Giants in town, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So plenty of Reds baseball upcoming. Wrapping up the show tonight, all about culture and trying to get away with things. Always fun on a May Wednesday night to talk about trying to skirt the rules both in the Deflategate situation and, as we mentioned, Tom Brady, I believe, has submitted an appeal request, and that will go in front of either Roger Goodell or someone he chooses.
And if he hasn't, he has to do it by tomorrow. It's three business days from Monday when the punishment was handed out.
That's the rule in the collective bargaining agreement, so the players have essentially signed off on that some time ago.
2011 then, was the last time, at least according to the Boston Globe article, so I think they're putting their entire focus on this story, so I think they're getting it right. Fred Glass was on last night with Joe Smith, and Joe, I obviously had to ask him about what was going on, and here's his quote. "Everyone with Tom Crean leading the way takes this extraordinarily seriously," Glass said. "I think that's reflected in the fact that the young man who was actually cited by the IUPD has been immediately suspended from team activity, so there has been a punishment handed out already. I think it's prudent to get additional facts. These things tend to get more information as time goes along, so I think given this little time to get the information," because Fred was on the show yesterday afternoon, about 4 hours after this broke, "before further action is taken, is appropriate, but is being taken extremely seriously." And we'll let you define what extremely seriously is, and that's going to be the next interesting part in all of this. Now, we know Fred has been a lawyer in his previous career, still is, and he knows how to craft a statement, which I don't have a problem with, and he also knows that any rush to judgment is silly.
Yeah,
anything else on top of
the court of public opinion wants everybody fried right now.
The court of public opinion has, in my opinion, a leg to stand on. The decision of punishment does not need to be made right now, but the incidents, with this one included, over 15 months, is more than relative to ask questions of what is going on and is this acceptable moving forward.
Especially with, again, with repeat offenders in some fashion.
And again, we want to sweep some of these things under the rug because, hey, there's some pretty good basketball going on at times over there. Well, you're going to have to choose. There's a team down there in Lexington that people love to pick on up here about the things they do, don't get caught, get away with, alleged, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we're not there's no allegedly here.
Well, that's one of the problems. And if you want to point around and say, hey, this goes on everywhere else, we're just right there in the middle of the herd, and I'm not implying that anything that the administration or staff is doing any of this. This is more fan-related. Just go ahead and send me the emails about all the Michigan State players that have problems in the last 15 months. Mm-hmm. Send me all the ones about the Kentucky players, basketball, that have had all – just go ahead and go through it because this is so prevalent and happens all – we're just part of it. We're just in the middle of this. We're not. And we –
Now, if you use Ohio State football, you'd have a point.
But I'm not. That's the angle. 120 guys.
That's your angle. You
15
go.
Guys.
You go.
That's right. It's the marquee program. How do you want to be viewed? How do you want to be viewed for wins and losses? Do you want to be viewed on this? Do you want to be viewed on that? There are a lot of people that couldn't wait for Kelvin Sampson to screw up. Couldn't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't wait for him to screw up.
Yeah, perhaps even tried to set him up.
Wait.
But it was only a matter of time.
Indiana basketball, the statement they make moving forward on punishment, on future violators, it's going to happen.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
We haven't seen anything else. It's not silly.
That's even more naive.
The trust will be regained by the way this is handled, in my opinion, for the doubters. Because, like I mentioned, there are some people who could care less about this. They could care less. But the problem is, the people that care what that Indiana means and care about those who wear the candy striped pants and care about the image of their university, that's important to them. And the statement that's going to be made, Dave, is going to be through the punishment. Is it going to be adding another clause to some magical contract they all sign when they get there? I don't know. Yeah. Because right now, here's what I do know. Deterrence doesn't work. So the penalty should be whatever it needs to be to eliminate future problems, in my opinion, going forward.
333-2665 is our phone number. You know, we've covered a number of different angles on this sort of thing. I personally am a believer that you need to help kids understand why decisions are bad and help them make better decisions. But that's what is the problem with this particular incident, is this is two kids who have had bad decisions cost them in certain ways, and yet here they are again. And we should note again, I mean, just to be fair to Hunter Mascara Perea, he was not cited as having the marijuana or smoking the marijuana or failing any tests or any of those sorts of things. I do think it's pretty easy to figure out what's going on there by testing him as quickly as possible, and that makes the decision really easy to me. But that said, he's been involved in other bad decisions, and here he is in a spot that you would like him to not be.
And here's
maybe it's entirely Devin Davis's fault. It could be.
Here's the beauty of it.
Still,
you're guilty by association, whether you like it or not. Whether it comes out 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years from now, and it says you were the guy that was in there telling Devin Davis, "Don't do this, man. You're throwing your career away. You can't do this. I'm trying to talk you off the ledge. Don't do it." I don't know. That could possibly happen. That could be a possible outcome. That's the one thing that saves you. But other than that, you're in a room with a guy doing something that's illegal in the state of Indiana, illegal in the city of Bloomington, and definitely illegal on campus, whether we like it or not. It's bad choices. It's bad choices that keep this going on.
And I go back to it. When you show that you are not learning from the consequences of the bad decisions, that's where you get into the pretty obvious decisions to me. And that is, you have to cut bait. At some point in time, you have to cut bait on somebody because they aren't figuring it out. Okay, this happens all the time. This is not, and I don't mean the smoking pot thing, but somebody screws up once, you give them a second chance, they screw up again, you say, you know what, the next time you screw up, that's it, you're done. And then they screw up again, and what do? You say, well, no, I really mean it, and I know you went through that incident, and you had to be in a hospital. When you keep making dumb decisions, at some point in time, you have to be sick of being the one trying to rehabilitate them. You're not in charge of rehabilitating everyone that comes along towards you. At some point, if they aren't working with you and showing some progress, then maybe something else needs to happen.
Your discipline isn't serious enough because they're not taking it serious enough.
Well,
so maybe your helpfulness is hurting because the behavior's not changing.
Well, again, at some point, change needs to happen. At some point, that's what needs to happen. And maybe they don't, quote-unquote, lose basketball. And maybe they can go to Bradley or Indiana State Vincennes or somewhere and go ahead and play. I don't have any idea. I would be surprised if they wouldn't, to be fair. But it doesn't have to be here. Not when you've given them a couple chances.
And the chances that they don't take. So it's part embarrassing, it's part frustrating, it's part maddening, because you wish and hope they would learn. And you know this had to be a focus before. And I don't know if it's one suffers, they all suffer, because do you want to punish the kids for doing the right thing? You know what? $3.5 million a year, you got to answer some tough questions here. You got to deal with some tough decisions. But the point is, there's been models where it's, okay, one guy's late, everybody runs.
Right.
Two guys, not just one guy goes and runs by himself or does all of that, because you would hope the herd mentality would take care of the problem before the coach had to.
And that's why I pointed out, it would be just as embarrassing if this was Robert Johnson. But it would be, as far as we know, Robert Johnson's first situation that he's been in on campus. And again, to me, I still think kids are going to make bad decisions.
Yes.
And hopefully they aren't too bad, first of all.
Yes.
And you have to help them understand what's bad about it and hopefully get them past it so they're making good decisions. You have attempted that with these two kids in particular, and they're still making, apparently, bad decisions. And that is the bigger issue to me more than anything else. And that's why, to me, it's pretty cut and dry. It seems like a lot of people might agree with that also, but if it were somebody else in a different situation who hadn't been in any trouble, I might look at that a little differently.
The next step is what the decision is going to be. I have a feeling this will not come out quickly. I think this will be a...
Well, you do want to find out the information.
You do, and we'll give them...
You've suspended the one kid.
Yeah, that's all you can do. Suspend it indefinitely, right. And the next one will be, what was Mascara Perea's role, if anything? And,
yes. Why was he there?
And if
what
they want to... it's going to depend on what angle they want to take on that. If they want to say, hey, you were there, that's it, cut and dry, you don't want to figure anything out. I don't know what level of investigation this determines.
Right.
You've made a case by saying these are previous offenders, maybe it deserves a finer-toothed comb than perhaps the last. We're not really sure what happened. We're just glad everybody's alive. That's that was the last one. So we'll see if the tenor changes. We'll see if the punishments are similar, different, or completely changed. And we'll see what the next step is, and I think the most interesting step, how this culture is going to change now.
Right.
There can't be another trial period. Right. It has to change now, or you throw your hands up and say we're a basketball factory and that's what we're here for. I'm fine with that. Just be honest with me. Don't jerk it around. Come out and say we're about winning basketball games and we're going to do anything we can to do it. I'm fine with that.
Well, you got to win them first before you can say that.
Ways.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Stay tuned. Reds baseball coming up here in just a few minutes, so don't go anywhere. Atlanta is in town, and we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.